This is Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. And this episode, we got a big interview with Bailey Zimmerman, who just actually accomplished one of his childhood or teenage, at least, dreams, becoming a Sonic drive-thru ambassador. He got to be in his first Sonic commercial. He loves Sonic. We're going to get into that conversation. Right after that, we have country newcomer Kelsey Hart that's going to be on. And then after that, we're going to dig into the vault and pull out an old interview with Megan Maroney back in April of 2023. Sit back, relax, and thanks for checking out the podcast.
What's up, dude? Tell me about this collab you got going on with Sonic, everybody's dream collab.
Bro, it's crazy. It's crazy. I can't believe it. When they called me to ask me, I was like, are you sure? Are you serious? And they're like, yeah, dude, we want you to do it with us. And I'm like, okay. All right. No, it's crazy, dude. I mean, if you grew up in a small town, you know, I mean, Sonic is like king.
Yeah.
You know, you pull your truck up into the stall, you hit the button, you order two corn dogs, chili fries, put it on the back tailgate, get you a refresher, bro.
You're set.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah, they just called me and I was like, bro, I've went to Sonic my whole life. It's crazy. Yeah, I'll work with you. Oh yeah.
So well, like, okay, when Walker Hayes did that, when he was talking about with Applebee's, he got a gold card where he could go anytime. Did you get something from Sonic where you can just roll up to any Sonic nationwide and they're like, yes sir?
Well, you know, I wish that was a thing, and maybe we could talk to Sonic about that. I'm like, hey, listen, my dog Evan mentioned that Applebee's gave them, you know, him a black card in a
give
sense.
This guy a Sonic black card.
I need a Sonic black card, bro. Bad.
Do you miss being able to pull up and tailgate at a Sonic? Because I feel like if you did that now, it would get crazy.
Dude, no, I still go to Sonic, bro. I'm still parking my big-ass truck at Sonic, dude. Hitting the button. I love it. Like, there's just some things you can't take away from your life because it makes you who you are.
Yeah.
And, like, going to Sonic and pulling the truck in the stall, bro, oh, my gosh. It's just like, it's everything. So, no, it's the way I grew up. I still go, bro. And honestly, it doesn't get too bad. People are honestly awesome. I love people. People are really nice. They'll be like super like funny and tell me stories and it's cool. Yeah. So it's a good, every time we go to Sonic, it's sick.
What's on your tour, what's a meet and greet interaction that sticks with you to this day?
Dude, last weekend, somebody told me that they named their baby girl after me.
Really?
Yeah, dude, and that was like, whoa. So am I officially like unk now? Or what is this? I'm like, there's a baby named after me now.
Wow, that's the first? I mean, I'm sure you've had people show you tattoos of your name and stuff.
Dude, I actually am about to post on Instagram. I did my first tattoo last night. I tatted somebody last night.
You tatted? What did you tat?
I tatted my signature on my tattoo artist.
What? Like a portable tattoo gun or something?
Dude, shout out Mike Stoll. He's my tattoo artist. He tattoos Morgan, Hardy, everybody. I met him on the Morgan Wallen tour. And he gave me, he finished my Just Believe tattoo. And we became really good friends. And he said, man, if I tattoo you, you got to tattoo me. And I never tattooed him. And then he was at the Ohio show last night. And he was like, bro, I got the stuff. If you wanted to tap me, and about 10 minutes before I went on stage, I tatted my signature on him, and it was good. It was good.
That's like, a lot of pressure.
Because I was like, okay, I understand the concept of getting a tattoo, and once I figured it out, I was like, oh, I got this. Dude. It gave me a whole new respect for people that do it like professionally, like crazy art. Like,
right.
I could barely sign my name.
When you pull up to a venue during the day and your show is at night, what do you do all day?
Dude, honestly, just work out, try to get ready for the show as much as possible and kind of take in everything. I usually try to go sit in the arena while it's getting put together and everything just to like, you know, get the gratification or get that gratitude out there, you know, of like, man, not only like, thank you God for this opportunity, but like, thank you just for like, putting me here with whatever purpose it is. You know, it's like sitting in there in that empty room really gives you a perspective of like, dang, bro, there's many people want to come see me, and it's got to be for a bigger reason, you know. So that's part of my day, is just to get that gratification to God and give it to him and be like, man, thank you for this opportunity. And then, man, like I'm in Wisconsin today, so I'm gonna go get some cheese.
Yes,
Yeah.
dude.
So I try to like, you know, work out, praise God, worship, get in the arena, make sure just my heart and my morals and my values are in the right place, and then I'll go hit the town, maybe
Get
get
some
some tacos.
cheese.
Today I'm getting some cheese. I'm gonna get a cheese head too.
That's cool. Yeah, I have one of those. Those are
Yeah.
sweet. That's sweet. When you're around some of your friends, like in your hometown, say at the Sonic, do people ask you like, hey man, can you FaceTime Ella Langley or Morgan Wallen real quick?
No, I always say, you think I'm really friends with them? I'm
Yeah,
not friends with them. They wouldn't want to be friends with me, man. Come on. No, it is funny. No, some people are like, dude, will you call somebody? And I'm like, yeah, I'll call them. All right, let's see. Let's use my famousness. Let's see if they answer.
awesome. What's
Yeah.
the current car collection, man? Do you still have the hardest Escalade on the planet?
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. I love that thing too.
That's
It's so
sick.
hard not to go like build it even more, but I've been keeping it chill. And then dude, one of my big ones right now I'm building is my Lamborghini. I bought a
Okay.
Lamborghini Huracan. I'm actually about to post crazy pictures of it. I tore it completely apart, dude. Like completely tore down. There's no interior in it. There's barely any parts on the outside of it. It's destroyed right now, and I'm rebuilding all of it.
Was it an accident?
No, I did it on purpose.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at with cars right now. Is I'm really excited to get my Lambo done, man. I think everybody's gonna be like, "Holy crap!" So yeah,
That's sick, man. That's awesome. Next time you come in here, I expect you to bring it.
No, I will. Are you into cars as well?
Yeah, man. I used to have
Nice.
an Escalade on 26s, but that was
Yeah,
before they had like 30s.
I think I got 28s on mine.
Yeah, I saw it,
Dude.
man. Oh, I saw that's hard, man. That was
Dude,
nice.
thanks. I remember
Dude.
when they, dude, like 24s were like,
Oh yeah. You
24s
were
were the
baller.
hugest.
Now 24s, your gap is like
Yeah.
that, and your people are like,
Then you're
ugh.
like, bro, get bigger wheels.
Yeah, what are you doing? Okay, a couple more real quick. Your tour is ending in June or whatnot. In country music, a lot of times the headliner, now that you're a headliner, gets the openers a gift. You know, have you thought about what you're gonna get Hudson Westbrook or Blake Whitton yet?
Man, dude, I'm not even gonna lie. So that has been a lot of conversations because last year I had Dylan Marlowe and Drew Baldridge on my tour, and I still haven't gotten them a gift. So I owe Drew Baldridge, Dylan Marlowe, Blake Whiton, and Hudson Westbrook a tour gift. But yes, we're working on that. Man, stuff got so busy last year, but yeah, I think it's really important to make sure. I remember when Morgan gave me my first like tour gift, and it was a Rolex, and I just thought, man, like this is how it's done, dude. Like this is how it's done. You make sure people feel appreciated and feel like wanted and feel like, man, like a big thank you. So I have a few tricks up my sleeve, and I'm gonna get them some gifts. So yeah.
All right, well, man, congrats on all the success, but most of all, you know you made it when Sonic calls. So,
Thanks.
congrats on reaching that level and unlocking that, you know, at the end of the game. That's awesome.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. No, it's anytime you get to work with a company like this, it's just like mind blowing. 'Cause I mean, dude, you know, I'm from a trailer in the middle of nowhere, and now I'm like working with Sonic and stuff. So it's really cool. Oh yeah.
That's dope, man. Dude, get that gold car, man. Let me know if you get it.
I'm gonna talk to Tracy about it and be like, yo, let's do a
All right.
bit. Let's do a bit with the gold card. Come on.
Let's do it. All right, man. You take it easy,
Dude,
bro.
you too, bro. Good luck with life, man. And great to see
Thanks.
you
You too,
too.
man.
God bless you, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother. You too, man.
Let's go. Bless.
All right, now let's jump into this interview with country newcomer Kelsey Hart.
Ain't coming back no more, no more.
Dude, what was that? Dude, that was awesome.
Dude, thank
That's
you,
a
buddy.
smash right
I
there. Did
appreciate
you
it,
write
man.
that?
Yes, sir.
What is that? Give me the story of that.
Dude,
Holy shit.
I guess it was 2 or 3 months ago. No, it's been longer than that. Actually, it's probably been 6 months ago. Got together with a few buddies, and we were talking about the Hit the Road Jack by Ray Charles. And one of my, you know, we were trying to figure out how to spin that. And my buddy, Nate Kenyon, he's like, well, you know, what if she hit the road, Jack, and we're talking to Jack Daniels,
dude,
about getting over this girl. And so we, it's kind of been a process to get approval through the Ray Charles Foundation, but we finally got approval, got it recorded, and then the song's coming out in June.
Wow. So, okay. So yeah. I want people to refer back to this when this is nominated for a CMA, ACM, Grammy. That's a great track, man. Oh, is that going to be a single for you?
We're thinking so.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, you never know until they come out, really, but we're feeling good about it and think it's could be a single.
What was the process of getting that approved? And can't you just put it out, or do you have to get it approved that way you can get money?
Yeah, so you have to get it approved because it's, you know, the title, the melody, and the chorus is, you know, is the Hit the Road Jack thing. So we had to go through their foundation. There was only one writer on the song. And he passed away like in the 80s. So it was all, everything was through the Ray Charles Foundation. So label.
What do you do to send an email? Like, how do you
yeah,
kick that
so
off?
It was a long, several month process. Everybody, like we had multiple people working on it at the label, and it took a while to get it done, but we finally did.
Wow. All right. And I want to talk about Anything Like You, the current single you got out.
Yeah.
Give me the story behind that one.
Yeah, so Anything Like You, that's a song about my wife and little girl. When a couple months ago, before my daughter was born, me and my buddy Adam Craig got together, and we were talking about, they're about to have a baby too, him and his wife, and we were just talking about, you know, wondering what they were going to be like. And he'd already had a kid, and he's like, well, man, I'll tell you, he's like, you know, you look at her mom, you know, and that's what... you know, she's probably going to look like her mom and be like her. And so that was the closest thing we had to kind of, you know, put that picture in my mind of what she could be like. And so that's where the title Anything Like You came from.
Fellow girl dad here. I got you, man. What's the inspiration behind her name?
So my wife's mom, we were on our way home from church one day, and we were just still trying to figure out what names we wanted to go with. And she said Coast. And my wife and I, we were both just like, man, that's pretty cool. And we went with it that was a couple months before she was born. We tried or talked about some other ones, but that's what we landed on.
That's cool, man. What was the most surprising thing for you being a first-time dad that, you know, everybody's always like, look out for this, look out for this.
Yeah.
But for me, it was changing that first diaper. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, what was it for you?
I don't really feel like I hadn't even really held a newborn.
Like, right, me neither.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, and I certainly hadn't changed a diaper. So it's like I absolutely been learning on the fly. So it's been amazing. I think probably the most surprising thing is just that first 6 weeks. I don't think people talk about it much, but you're in the trenches.
Trenches.
I mean, it's like I don't even have it, you know, nothing like my wife does,
yeah.
You know, because she's, you know, doing the feeding and all that stuff. So she's got it way, you know, had it way tougher than me. But yeah, those first 6 weeks, I was like, okay. All right.
Has that affected any songwriting since her birth?
Well, it's honestly, I haven't done a ton just because I've been home and trying to, you know, be there as much as I can. But things are, she's, I think, 17 weeks this week.
Okay.
So it's like we're in a good flow now and kind of getting back to some normalcy.
Now, with your last name being Hart, I know it's spelled different, but has there always been pressure for you to go hard on Valentine's Day?
Oh, man. Dude, we just we started, when we first started dating, we just started going to, one of the first Valentine's Days, like, to get reservations. And I was just like, we're in Nashville. we're just going to show up, meet. Like, I thought that could happen, I guess. And it didn't work. Obviously. And so we got pizza that night and just went home and watched a movie.
There you go.
And so now on Valentine's Day, Ever since, that's what we do. We just go get pizza and watch a movie.
That's a great tradition, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is, you wrote Life With You about your wife too, yeah. as well. What is her favorite line in that song that stuck out to her most?
Oh, I don't know. She hadn't really been specific on a line, but I mean, the song itself, we had, she'd just moved from Utah to Nashville. We'd just got engaged, and she did tell me, like, pretty early on with the song, she was just like, she's like, I want, because I was looking for, all kinds of different, other people's song to use for our wedding. And she was like, no, I want to use that song. And she's like, I knew it the second you told me, or wow. you showed me the song. And I was like, oh, I was like, okay.
Subsequently, how many weddings have you been invited to since that song came out?
Oh man, dude, it's been honestly even before it came out. So it had its thing on TikTok before the song ever came out.
Okay.
So that was like, we put together like this link so that the people could get it early. And so they could download it from, it was like a expiring link or whatever before it came out. And there was like 500 or 600 people that used it as their first dance before it came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pressure right was, there, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
did you crazy. Ever think you would be that guy delivering the wedding ballad?
Dude, people say like, you just never know like what's going to be your first thing that kind of gets you going. And that couldn't be more true because I mean, that song, I loved it. My wife and I, we loved it personally, but we really didn't even have a plan on putting it out. We were just going to use it for our wedding. And, we posted our wedding video, with the song playing and stuff. And, here I am trying to tease and get all these other songs going.
And then, that's the one.
Then this one just starts kind of doing its thing. And we're like, well, okay. And, yeah. And then, we put it out and it, changed the game. So for me.
Yeah. What, does your wife have a least favorite song of yours that she's like, I don't want to hear that again?
If she does, she hadn't told me.
Okay.
So maybe she does and she just hadn't let me in on it yet. But
is it an uphill battle putting out love songs in a world where it seems like breakup songs work real, real good?
Well, I actually like for a long time, like I was like, just writing breakup songs.
Oh,
like okay. It was just kind of like naturally what I was going to. And I'm like, I'm not sad and I'm not like going through a breakup. I don't know why I always write breakup songs. But that was like a lot of the first stuff I wrote was breakup songs. And it was just like, then we released a few love songs and it's like all of the love songs are like my top like streaming songs. And so it was funny. My mom one day, she was just like, she's like, maybe you should write more love songs. She's like, I don't know if the, and she's always been like, she's like, write a song with a story. Write a song with a story. She's like, quit singing about drinking and breakups. I'm like, okay, Mom. So she's trying to steer me in the right direction.
Mom changed the game, man.
Yeah.
And females are dominating country music. Like the ACM nominations just came out, and it's all females at the top.
Yeah.
As a girl dad, how does that make you feel about the future and like them being role models that you can point your daughter to?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think one of my first friends in town was Lainey Wilson. And I love her. And now, keeping up with a lot of what Ella's doing. And like, I just love how genuine those girls are. Like, I feel like that shines through so much, when you can, I think that's what sets them apart, And I think that the future is in good hands with them girls for sure.
Give me a good Lainey story from back in the day, like when she was living in a trailer. Or something.
Well, so I didn't meet her when she was living in a trailer. I guess that she'd already had a house by the time I met
her. Okay.
But yeah, it was, Lainey and, Casey Tindall, and a few of our other friends. I was just, we always just ran around in Midtown together, hanging out, and would have bonfires at Lainey's house because she had a nice backyard with a fire pit, and so we would end up over there sometimes just hanging out.
I heard a story about, did Ella Langley break Lainey Wilson's deck?
I don't know. I've never we played New Faces together the other day with Ella. But other than that, I've never really been around Ella. I don't know her.
And have you been to Lainey's new house?
I haven't.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, I heard she got her a farm and a new place.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Which songs did you write for other artists?
My first song, I think it was in 2017, was Jake Owen. And that one was called As Long As You're In It. And that was my first ever cut. And then what was the next one? Then Dylan Scott, cut a song called Hell Out of Me. That was a couple years later. And then I think the most recent outside cut was Trace Adkins.
What's that? Do you get a call like, hey, man, like, what's that like?
Well, it wasn't from Trace. Okay. I didn't get a call from Trace, but his producer reached out to our, like, A&R at Curb or publishers and was just like, hey, we've heard the song and love it and want to cut it on Trace. And it was his, I think, 25th anniversary, like, album or whatever.
Wow.
This is a few years ago, but, you know, just super cool. And that was, it was one of the first songs, not the first, but one of the first songs, like in that first year I was in Nashville that I wrote, that I always loved.
That's crazy.
So, yeah.
And being a barber, on tour, do you ever cut any other artist's hair?
So I cut, my band member's hair, my manager's hair.
Yeah. For free or do you charge
them? Oh, no, it's for free.
What?
Yeah. Yep. Just to stay in practice, you know, I've always, enjoyed cutting hair.
Yeah.
And so when I, you know, give it up to do music, you know, I kind of miss the process of cutting hair. I don't miss necessarily going to do it every day, but, like, you know, you miss it a little bit of doing it. So it's like, it's nice to, you know, sometimes, like, my manager yesterday, I was just like, he didn't even ask me. And I was just like, dude, you need a haircut.
And then, so like, do you keep it with you?
No, I mean, I keep it at the house. And then sometimes we'll bring it on the road.
Yeah.
Like if one of the guys, if we don't have time to do it before we leave, I'll bring my stuff and do it.
That's awesome. And do the whole cleanup for everybody.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
A couple years ago when I did, the SiriusXM, the highway happy hour thing, Buzz and what's the other guy's name? The guys I cut his hair.
Cody.
No, I can't. He had a big long beard, and I mean his hair was crazy. And I cut his hair on the stage, yeah, in front of the whole crowd.
That's awesome.
They're like, "You're a barber. Bring your stuff and cut his hair."
Who's your dream haircut in country music?
Oh man, shoot. I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
What would you do with Jelly Roll's hair, man?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. What's Jelly Roll got right now? Just a regular?
I think just a little, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is so
we may
fun.
Give him a flat top.
A flat top. Let's bring it back.
You imagine Jelly Roll with a flat top.
We'll have to AI that and see if make it look like it.
Yeah.
Well, dude, you have so much on the horizon, man. With all the songs out, you got Fireworks climbing the charts.
Yeah.
And that Jack song is going to, I'm telling you, it's going to be like life with you. It's going to take over. And
thank you, man. Yeah. We're really excited about that one.
Yeah, I will be too. As soon as that comes out, man, your phone ain't going to stop ringing, bro.
Oh, thank you, buddy. That's awesome.
Appreciate you coming by, man.
Yeah, thank you, man.
All right. And now the part of the podcast, we're going to throw it back. We're going to go check into the vault. An interview we did with Megan Maroney from April 11th, 2023. It's Evan Paul here on Taste of Country Nights. Sorry, with Megan Maroney. What's happening?
Howdy.
How's it going? Everything good with you?
Everything's great.
Where's the craziest place that you've heard Tennessee Orange?
Craziest place I've heard Tennessee Orange? Probably a gas station in Georgia. That's just like... It was like one off the side of the road. I don't even know if it was like a chain one. It was like just like a hole in the wall one.
Uh-huh.
And I was like getting some sunflower seeds. And I'm like, oh, dang, that's me.
Wait, what's your sunflower seed flavor? Do you like to...
ranch.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You
don't... That was a quick answer.
Only ranch.
I like the original ones too, but it's actually like a known thing within my like team. Like on tour, I can only get sunflower seeds on the last day of the run because I make myself sick from how I can't stop eating them. It's so embarrassing. But like, I will make myself sick because I eat a whole jumbo.
Are we talking like a big,
like baseball players, put in their mouth but spit out?
Yeah. Wait, you eat that?
No, I don't like swallow them. Okay.
Okay. I was like, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, no.
That's cool, but you don't experiment with like pickle or nacho
I tried the, I think they were lemon pepper one time, and they just weren't my favorite.
You look like a David brand.
That is
yeah, true. Yes. I know my seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a problem. Everyone knows, like, that I can't have those unless we're, like, done touring.
That's a lot
with
of
all
salt.
The sodium, I feel all puffy.
I got you. Are you nervous to release all your hard work to the world?
Not really, no. I'm excited.
You ready for it?
Yeah. I think it'll pay off, hopefully. Yeah.
It's really country. I feel like anyone that complains about what country music is now hasn't heard this album. Like, this is really country. Was there a reason why you wanted to introduce yourself this country?
Well, it's just the music that I love. Like, that country music is like what I grew up on, and it's what I like writing. It's what I listen to. So it's kind of just made sense to like doing anything else, I think, wouldn't feel authentic to what I'm trying to do. So
I saw you covered a while ago on TikTok Stay from Sugarland.
Oh, yeah.
What was it like working with Christian Bush on this album?
Wild. I mean, he produced my EP as well and my first song Wonder. So we've gotten to know each other pretty well, and it's cool to work with each other because he can like read my mind now and stuff. But it's definitely wild because I started as an intern with Christian in college. I was a publishing intern for him and his brother, and now he's producing my stuff, and it's insane because I grew up listening to Sugarland. That's all my mom listened to, so it's surreal. Yeah.
Is your mom like, can I talk to him, or can it?
They've met. My mom tries to play it cool, you know. She, with a lot of things, my mom's like, what's going on? I think that was the first, like, what is going on moment for my mom, was the fact that I was getting to work with Christian Bush. So
okay. Well, I want to go to something. You mentioned your mom in the CMT Awards. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Can you clarify what you were talking about? Because some of us, we have a debate going. Did you miss your plane to the awards or to the actual video shoot?
So it was to the actual video shoot. I don't even remember if I could speak English and on TV. Like, when the CMT Awards happened and I was accepting that, I literally got off stage and I was like, did I just speak? I don't know. I blacked out. But yeah, I probably should have clarified, but it was on the way to the video shoot. So we shot it like the day after Christmas, and that was when all like the Southwest flight thing was happening, where all got canceled and everyone was stranded.
Yeah.
So my flight was supposed to be at 2:00. I would get there at like 4:00 or something. And it just kept getting delayed. And then at like 9:30 p.m., it finally got canceled. But I had to be at... getting my glam done at like 7:30 a.m. the next morning. So I was like, okay, it's 9 p.m. now. I'm in Savannah, Georgia, and I need to find a way to get to Nashville, Tennessee by 7:30 a.m. tomorrow. And my mom was like, well, she immediately just like got her car and picked me up at the airport. And I'm like, I don't know. She's the best.
Wow.
But we drove through the night, and yeah, I don't know how I didn't have bags under my eyes for the video shoot, because I did not sleep the day before we shot that.
You can't tell. I know who your mom's dream duet would be in country music, but who it would be, Sugarland. Who would yours be?
Probably Miranda Lambert or Chris Stapleton.
Okay. And you ran into Miranda Lambert one time, didn't you? Just randomly?
I did. I accidentally stepped on her at Red Door. But this was this is when I was visiting Nashville. I had just gotten my fake ID taken at Nudie's Broadway, but somehow Red Door let me in with my second backup fake ID.
There you go. So, shout out to Red Door.
Shout out Red Door. And I was in there. I was literally in like sweatpants, and I had stepped back. And so I like stepped on someone on accident. And I turned around. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And it was Miranda Lambert. And I was like, I am really so sorry. But yeah, she had like a hat on. She like glasses. So she didn't really like look like herself, but I knew.
Wow. Had you had any other run-ins with country stars before that, like that are already like famous?
I've met Casey Musgraves with one shoe on one time. It was after a show.
Had one shoe or she had one?
I had one shoe on because I had just gotten knee surgery. So I had this really big like cast thing on my leg. So I had one cowgirl boot on.
Oh, I see.
And so the picture of Casey and I have one shoe.
That's legit, though. That's official, though. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cheated and busted relationships on this record. What song more than any kind of tells your story?
I think honestly, Girl in the Mirror, because that wasn't necessarily written about a certain relationship. You know, it's more just like what I find myself doing in relationships. And it's just basically about, putting the other person first because you want it to work, even though it's not supposed to work and you shouldn't try to make it work. You know what I mean?
Is that why it was like your most vulnerable?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's like, I don't know. I wrote that with Jesse Joe Dillon and Matt Jenkins, and we talked for like 3 hours. I'd met Matt at a writer's round, but we hadn't written, and I didn't know Jesse Joe. We talked for like 3 hours, and I'm pretty much an open book in rights, and we wrote the song in like 30, 45 minutes, so it was like crazy. We just talked about everything for like 3 hours, and then we were like, oh, wait, should we write a song? And then Girl in the Mirror came out of it, so, but yeah, it's I think that probably summarizes my dating life.
I gotcha. I want to play you something that Carly Pierce said about you.
Oh, wow. Carly Pierce.
What's your favorite song on the radio? Not yours right now.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. I'm a really big Megan Maroney fan, so I'm going to say Tennessee Orange because I think she's going to be a big fat star.
That's what do you think about that?
That's awesome. And what the heck? Hi, Carly. Hey, girl.
This is going to hit home for people in bad relationships, Girl in the Mirror. Was there a song that really helped you get through a breakup?
Like on the record?
Yeah. Or in general.
Oh, yeah. Let me think about this. I love Already Crazy by Carter Faith.
Okay.
I've listened to that song probably like a billion times. But even Carly's What He Didn't Do, anytime I need to remind myself,
that's the
I'm
one.
Just like, yeah, Alexa, play Carly Pierce.
How do you go back to Georgia being a cheerleader when you were there with Tennessee Orange on? Like, do people understand, like, the deal or...
So I wasn't a cheerleader at Georgia.
Oh, I did. I saw you.
I was a cheerleader in high school that I thought I was going to go be a cheerleader, but then I hurt my knee and learned how to play guitar.
Oh.
But I did go to Georgia and I diehard a sorority girl, all the things.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, I was nervous to play it at first, but, I think because I say I still want the Dogs to win at the end, I redeemed myself and they forgive me because it's been, great every time I go back to Georgia. So,
what did baby Megan want to be when you were growing up?
I probably didn't even think about it, honestly. I mean, baby me probably wanted to be like a princess or something. But, you know, growing, once I got to the age where it's like, oh, shoot, you're about to have to get a job, girl. I thought I was going to be an accountant. So that's what I went to school for.
Interesting.
Totally.
So,
different.
But are you still good at all that? Like, could you do my taxes?
I don't know if I'm good at it.
Like, but could you do it? You could get it done without TurboTax?
I could, yeah, probably.
Well, congrats on all the success. You're going to the top. This is going to be awesome. Tennessee Orange, top 25. We're going to get there.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right, that wraps up that interview from April of 2023 that we had with Megan Maroney. Let's bring it back to the current time right now. I got Billy Dukes on with me, and we want to talk about what happened recently this week, yesterday, if you're listening to this on Friday, June 5th, you know, at CMA Fest in downtown Nashville. Billy, did you see Florida Georgia Line? That's all I'm going to say. They're back. I couldn't stay up late enough to, I kept watching my Instagram feed. I couldn't find anything. I woke up early in the morning, the next morning, and it's everywhere. I was like, they came back. They apparently, Tyler and Brian, I saw a video. They like walked through the crowd a little bit, got to the stage. They hugged it out and, Tyler in his voice said, "We back, baby."
This kind of was surprising, but maybe not, right? Because they had the reunion and they talked about getting back together, going on the hike, you know, the bro hike, kind of figuring things out, yeah. Talking about. Then they started to speak a little bit more honestly about why they broke up in the first place, with Tyler admitting there were some tensions about being a solo artist. Brian wanted to be a solo artist. Tyler felt that was competing with the duo. So they've kind of been slow rolling this a little bit. Artists have been saying they want to see them come back. And then they, on social media this week, or maybe it was towards the end of last week, they put something like FGL, LFG, standing for Let's Effin' Go, a little bit of a tease. Quietly, they seem to have hired their old publicist back, who was sending out notes, making sure that media saw this little tease. And then at CMA Fest, and what better place to do it as CMA Fest to kind of announce that they're making some sort of comeback, but details still really thin, right? We don't necessarily know what "we back" means.
Well, yeah, of course. But here's what I think. So I think we're lining up. They've been hanging out for a month or two. I'm pretty sure they probably have recorded a couple songs. I'm going to say that this is all part of a rollout that is going to be, what quarter are we in? Three, like a Q4. So January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. I think September or October, we're going to get maybe September, a Florida Georgia Line something, maybe an EP of some new songs. But I also think they're going to do the rounds and play like the Tonight Show. I think they're going to kind of soft launch as if, or, you know, hard launch or whatever, whatever the kids say, I don't know. Launch it as if, you know, as if they're new, but not new, you know? And to me, I don't know if both of them are in the age where the kids call them unk. You know, when you're right in your 40s now, these teenage kids, and they call you unk. So these are everybody's unks, man. Like, everybody in country music that's hot right now, like, was like in high school or earlier when their music came out. Everybody wanted to see them get back together, I feel like. Plus, there's no good news going on in the world today. This is huge.
All right. Let me just back it down a little bit here. I understand the excitement. I'm looking now at, there's a video on their Instagram page. They're standing on the roof of Blake Shelton's Old Red, which is where the Spotify house is. This video is just posted 55 minutes ago, so there's some sort of news. I imagine a partnership with Spotify. But I'm going to dribble a few drops of cold water on this, all right? Carefully.
All right.
So,
wet blanket.
The issue that Tyler had about solo artist versus a duo and competing with each other, that's more relevant than ever, right? Because Tyler Hubbard's been very successful as a solo artist. Can he continue to release solo music if Florida Georgia Line is releasing music as a duo to the radio as well?
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
I struggle. I don't think they can. I don't think so.
Yeah, just because his voice is like the main voice you hear in Florida Georgia Line, but he's had so many number one hits, and I think he's done what he needed to do solo. I think he'll take a break, I think.
Okay. So here's another thing. If we start working towards like a tour, right? It's hard out there in these streets right now for touring artists. Like, if I am Florida Georgia Line announcing a tour, I might wait till the economy is a little better, until we're not paying $4.25 for gas prices, to fire up those tour buses again, and try to sell out some of those same size theaters, because the headwinds on that, trying to get that whole thing cranked up again, I'm not doing that this year. Maybe a 2027 tour, if they're going to go on a full tour.
Okay.
Makes a little bit more sense. And the third,
yeah.
My third point here is that there's a lot of artists out there who have copycatted Florida Georgia Line. Copycat's too strong. That's too strong, because that sounds like critical to some of the artists, and that's not what I'm trying to say. They were certainly inspired by Florida Georgia Line, proudly inspired by Florida Georgia Line. And we just had one of them in studio recently, Graham Barham, great artist, good music. I mean, he has a duet with Tyler Hubbard on his record. A good artist. His music sounds like Florida Georgia Line, which i.e. is competing with Florida Georgia Line for some of that listener space.
Hold on, I got something.
You got breaking news?
No, but I just want to intervene here. So here's my thing. In Florida Georgia Line is different from like Brooks and Dunn, let's say, where both Brooks and Dunn have on records, you can tell their voices and are different and blah, blah, blah. Florida Georgia Line, it's like hearing Tyler Hubbard's solo stuff is like hearing Florida Georgia Line because Brian BK usually does the background vocals or whatnot. So, like, to me, Florida Georgia Line has kept – if you put on a Tyler Hubbard song, I would say 5 out of 10 people would probably be like, oh, that's Florida Georgia Line. Yeah. Just from, you know.
I don't – so it's almost –
and that goes in the success.
It's like they've
the
never
success
left
of Tyler.
Into a to yeah. a certain degree.
Yeah, and the success of Tyler compared to Brian, BK, in their solo efforts, I would say – you know, kind of show, you know, what everybody really wants. They want Tyler, who is Florida Georgia Line. Am I, you know?
I don't disagree.
Like 60%.
But if this is the case, what does "we back" mean?
Yeah.
Because it's almost like, to the casual fan, he never really left because Tyler just kind of kept that bus rolling.
That's true. And there's people out there, God bless them, that don't even know Florida Georgia Line broke up 4 years ago. So, I mean... Yeah.
I think that's probably the case. You know, people who are just casual country music fans may not sort of realize it. Because not all that much time has passed, right? It's only been, four? Yeah, really, only about 3-4 years since it was official. They started to really sort of slow things down within those 2 years prior. So I don't know what "we back" means. I imagine it probably means new music and a tour. Right? Because that's what it always means.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what else are they going to do? Like a sitcom?
No. Yeah. No, that's it, man. I think you're right. I think 2027, I think 2026 is a little too early for that. I think maybe a single by the end of the year. Maybe they'll do a Christmas album.
It'll be interesting to see kind of what new music sounds like from them now, because like the Florida Georgia Line brand was so much about like almost like we're young, we're single, we're just having a fun, carefree time. And that's what made Cruise so great, is it just there's no cares. And they had so many singles like that were like that. But now they're married. They're closer to 40 than they are 20. Like Tyler's got kids. Like there's cares to be had. Like can they still create new songs that sound like "Round Here" and "Cruise"? What was the song about smoking?
Sundays
that they had. I loved Sundays.
Good song, man.
That was a good song. Simple, great song. Like, what does the new version of that sort of sound like?
Yeah,
does that new version work? I'm really fascinated get answers to those questions.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, with everything, only time will tell, but I'm a big fan. This is giving me something to like throw a party about. I want to go to the Chinese buffet and just have it out.
Well, I want to be clear that I'm not like not a fan. I'm just
wet blanket.
I've seen these reunions before, yeah. Right? And like seeing how they play out. And then sometimes it's rare that like they're all end up really being all that different from what, like Rascal Flatts is an example. They kind of came back and they put out their album and they toured. And then now what? We're just kind of Rascal Flatts, which is great. But like, it's not like it was like a, oh my gosh, you know, Garth Brooks maybe is the exception. When he came back, it was a game changer.
Mark my words, 2027's duo of the year. They're going to be that back in time for the CMAs.
Well, you know why I'm going to maybe endorse that idea is because the duo of the year winner the last several years has been Brooks and Dunn, who haven't released a new song literally in 18 years or something like that. So, like, I feel like the category is there for the taking.
Yeah, God bless Dan and Shay. I mean, come on, guys. Anybody. There's a lot of options. So
CMA Fest is interesting because, I mean... You know, this is when people really sort of time their announcements. It's the biggest stages, of course, ABC filming. So they start kind of, you get the good stories and events sort of happen like this. People like to make news on that CMA Fest stage. And you can guarantee that this is going to be like shown in prime time when ABC shows that CMA highlights package a little bit later this month. Like, we're going to get, like, the Tyler Hubbard. Like, if Tyler and Brian did this whole reunion thing, but, like, I don't know, the audio went bad or something, they would have done a second take of it at Nissan Stadium. And then, like, all of a sudden, the fans get hyped up for take two of We Back. You know what I mean? Like, because that's the kind of things happen behind the scenes. Sometimes it doesn't work. They got to do a second take, and the crowd just has to sort of fake it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing, I guess, like, the ABC version. Because all I get to see now is, like, people's cell phone videos, you know. So it will be cool to see the actual production of it. It's probably going to be sweet.
I mean, that was the first night of CMA Fest. That was the Thursday night show. Like, what is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? How do they sort of
that?
I guess Ella Langley was out there. She was on the CMA Fest stage, and she made a few headlines for her her outfit.
Okay, what was it?
I'm going to take a look here. Let's see if she's got... Okay, it's a little spicy. It's a little new for Ella. It's like a black leather bell-bottom thing with like a fringe sort of bikini top. I overlooked the headline here. Ella Langley and Gretchen Wilson shared a stage.
Oh, that's cool.
At CMA Fest. So Gretchen Wilson still... That's 2 years in a row she took the CMA Fest stage.
Yeah, and... And Ella also did some stuff at CRS with Joe DiMassina. So Ella's embracing the, I guess, elders.
Ella also took the CMA Fest stage in like a, almost like a it's a little bit more of a sundress, but it's white, like a white dress. Almost looks like a wedding dress, but it's got a little bit of a pattern to it. And she performed with Ernest. Ernest shared a song. So you get all these kind of cool duets, right? Which is what's great about the week.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to recap the entire week, all you have to do is go to Taste of Country on your social media. We were there in the crowd, got all the footage you need, or tasteofcountry.com to check out those. And then coming up, let's see, on the Taste of Country Nights On Demand podcast next week, we've got Keith Urban is going to be hanging out with us talking about his new album that's dropping next Friday, the Yacht Rock album. I think it's going to be a good chat, good talk with Keith Urban. And, you know, it will also add a throwback, something new we're trying here. Thanks for checking out Taste of Country Nights On Demand.